It's good to see you. It feels very warm and bright on this beautiful dark night with a big old gibbous moon. Warm and bright to be in our mysterious and magical temple made of our homes. And tonight I'd like to talk about concentration practice as a way of non-trying. While I was away for those 2 months in Nova Scotia, paddling my kayak on the water and walking the long Crescent Beach at Cherry Hill and hearing the stories of friends and neighbors. And I was also in Canada during their first National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. The nation coming to terms with the discovery of so many bodies of children who had died at the residential schools they were forced to go to. And Nova Scotia for me is a place where I begin again when I go there, an origin place. And it's not a place of putting everything away. There were troubles enough, troubles in the village and troubles in the country, troubles in the world. But there is a sense of rediscovering the path, of getting reacquainted with the universe of Sarah, sitting, walking, paddling, lying down, standing, all the things that the old sutras talk about. How shall I sit and stand and lie down and go to sleep and wake up? Sleeping, waking, the light, the sounds, different each time. Breathing, releasing the tension in my jaw. Out on the water, in my little blue boat, letting go of absolutely everything, a practice. Letting go while paddling, feeling the muscles of my body working all together to push a paddle through water, feeling the water holding me, feeling the waves moving me. Wondering when that seal was maybe just swimming right under me. Letting go of everything, not needing to be anything, suddenly just being all of this. And coming home and getting reacquainted with the particulars of here, the floor holding me, the light penetrating everything. The small sounds and the breathing space. This coming and going of living and dying. And of course, it can so easily be overwhelming. There is so much. There is so very much going on. And so I ask myself often just what's this? What's essential? Not trying to figure it out, but wanting to stay connected to the question. A wordless kind of question that really is just a forming of awareness, maybe. I'm not sure. What is this? What is it, this being alive? I wonder. And I find myself then really drawn to concentration practice, because in concentration practice, I can let everything fall away and not make a thing of it, but just notice the natural inclination of mind. So fortunately, Jojo came up when the open source teachers were looking at where we are and what comes next. The others all said, well, we haven't really talked about Jojo. And I said, oh, good, okay, we shall. And so I've been spending some time with Jojo. And this koan came up, case 19, that just seems so much right where we are. Where Jojo asks his new teacher, his fairly new teacher, I think, Nanchuan, what is way? And this translation is kind of wonderful that way, because what is way doesn't make a the out of it, right? Doesn't make a thing. What is way? Ordinary mind is way, Nanchuan answers. Just like this is way. Just like this right here. Still, it's something I can set out toward, isn't it? Asks Jojo. And when we think of ourselves as wayfarers, as pilgrims, even though a peregrine wanders the fields, right? No here and there, but traverses the fields. The going is the way, but it's something I can set out towards, isn't it? And it feels as if my mind reaches for that, grasps for that moment by moment. What should I be setting out toward? What should I be aiming for? What should I be getting to? Get or done? What should I be getting done? It's something I can set out toward, isn't it? Nanchuan says, to set out is to be distant from. By definition, right? If you're setting out, there's a here and there's a there. And from here, you're going to go there. So you're distant. To set out is to be distant from. Perhaps that's not way. What if that's not what way is? But if I don't set out, how will I arrive at an understanding of way? How am I ever going to understand all this? Why it is how it is, how I should be, how I shouldn't be, how I am already what I shouldn't be. How am I going to understand all this? How to love and be loved, how to be effective, what's the way it should be. If I don't set out, how will I arrive at an understanding of way? Nanchuan says, way isn't something you can understand. And it isn't something you cannot understand. You can't understand it, and you can't fail to understand it. That's not how it is, way. Understanding is delusion. Whatever you think you understand, it's not that. And not understanding is pure forgetfulness or blankness, a different translation. Not understanding, that's not a thing, right? By definition, not understanding is not a something. So understanding is delusion and not understanding is not it either. Way isn't something you can understand and it isn't something you cannot understand. If you truly comprehend this way, that never sets out for somewhere else. Isn't that interesting? This way that never sets out for somewhere else. Way isn't like that, setting out. If you truly comprehend that, if you enter into it absolutely, way. If I enter into it absolutely, I don't have to understand those words. I can just feel them. If I enter into it absolutely, you realize it's exactly like the vast expanses of this universe. If I enter into it absolutely, then this feeling of the largeness of everything as I enter into it, and the particularity of everything as I enter into it. Oh, what if way is just the way it is? The way it is when I allow my actual experience of it all generative emptiness you can see through into boundless clarity. I and everything appearing together at the same instant. Constantly. No way not to see it. No way to see it. Now, how can you force that into coherence with the logic of yes, this, no, that? This, just right this where you are, right now, this. How can you force it into coherence with the logic of yes, this, no, that? Something opened in Zhaozhou, visitation land, at that moment. Something dropped away. Something was different and would never be the way it had been again. Something opened. Zhaozhou later said, when somebody asked him, what's meditation? It's not meditation. Well, then what is it? It's alive. There's nothing more alive than our being here. So why do we call it practice? You know, I think of it more as the non-doing of not trying to accomplish, not having accomplished. He says, if you enter into it absolutely, hearing these words, the koan points out, Zhaozhou was ready to really just hear those words. And remember, you know, at that time, Zhaozhou was spending a lot of time in meditation. So what's he doing? Yeah. What is that? Into which, what creates that space into which those words can drop and change his life? I was remembering Bill Porter Red Pine's story about the monastery where he lived in Taiwan. He went there and said, can I come be here? And they said, sure, here's a room. And they gave him no meditation instruction, no schedule of times when he needed to be doing meditation. They opened the library to him. He didn't know how to read Chinese. So he started to teach himself the language by translating poems. And nobody told him what was meditation and what wasn't meditation. And he stayed there quite a while until they told him he should go get a job, I think, at some point. After which he had spent quite a lot of time in meditation in that place. So then in our koan here, the gata tosses you right back into the middle of everything. It says, spring flaunts 100 blossoms, autumn a moon, like tonight. Summer brings cool breezes, winter soundless snow. Absence and its operations, all idleness held in mind. Here among humankind, isn't that the perfect season? Another translation says, when idle concerns don't hang in your mind. So that there's a kind of interesting difference in these translations, but don't be worrying. Yeah, you don't have to be worrying about if you're getting it or not. Are we getting there? Are we there yet? Tonight, there's a big moon in the sky, and we are here together. In such a world, in such a body. No idea really how long you've lived or how long you will live. Even if I think 73 years, that doesn't actually mean anything. That doesn't actually say anything to me about how long I've lived. Just feels like a really silly question. Like, what does that mean? And how long will I live? What does that mean? Idle concerns. No idea. So you'll discover this concentration practice for yourself for the rest of your life. It's the only way to do it, by non-doing. You know, nobody can tell you what it is. People can give you pointers, sort of, but it's only pointing. Like Dawei's comment, put the mind and wu or no together until the mind has no place to go. Put the mind and Wu together until the mind has no place to go. No place to go. No place to go. Mind has no place to go. It might not make sense, you know, but is it supposed to make, does it need to make sense? What if its job is not to make sense, but to open you and free you? You just do it. Put the mind and Wu together until the mind has no place to go. Put the mind and that stone drenched with rain together till the mind has no place to go. And suddenly there can be, suddenly or very subtly or gradually, there can be a kind of a sense of awakening from a dream. And it's, I always think the best, to my mind, the most real expression of it is, oh. And an insight becomes possible that wasn't possible before. It's like that knowing of the body, that knowing that is not a matter of thinking about it. And your whole life is actually infused with this. And this is why we say there's no going back, you know. There's no unmaking that experience. And it's not as if this is the first time you have it. You've had it, this kind of experience since you were maybe a baby, you know, certainly a child. And we recognize it in this way, in this form. But it's not as if it's never happened to you before, actually. And so I want to touch into something that Jiaozhou said much later. He said, when I teach, I go directly to the core of the matter. What matter is that? I go directly to the core of the matter. What is the core of the matter for you? To me, it seems to be about what it's like being you right here and now. What is it like? What do you notice about it? Just being you right here in the room you're in now on this funny screen with together with others. In your life, right here. Jiaozhou goes on. So he says, when I teach, I go directly to the core of the matter. If you say I should use the various techniques to fulfill your various needs, you hear those echoes of where do you think you should be going? Go to those who employ all the methods and teach all the doctrines. Go for it. Knock yourself out. So we often speak of two movements of mind. Oh, sorry about that. Take, go away, Bing. We speak of two movements of mind, but it's never about not being here. So it's always exactly about being here. Whether we're talking about just opening your awareness, as I often say, spreading like huge skirts that you have, spreading the huge skirts of your awareness around you to infinity, if it's like that kind of opening of awareness, or if it's more like letting some very most particular thing, that stone drenched with rain, be all of it, all of it, all of it, everything. Either of those is not about not being here. You can't not be here, actually. You know, here you are. So, you know, when someone asked Zhaozhou, why did Bodhidharma come from the West? You know, why did that guy come from India all the way here to bring us something? And Zhaozhou said, the oak tree in the courtyard. And then another thing from Zhaozhou, a monk asked, or somebody asked, I'm trying to train myself to replace monk with monastic, which is non-gendered, but it's easier to just say someone. So someone asked Zhaozhou, what about when I seek to be Buddha? Zhaozhou said, what a tremendous waste of energy. Amen to that, I can tell you. So the person said, what about it when I'm not wasting any energy? Zhaozhou said, in that case, you are Buddha. As I get old, whatever that is, I notice not wanting to waste energy. And it's not so much a thought or an intention or anything as just a something in me just doesn't want to, you know? Something in me just doesn't want to waste it. Someone else asked, I am chaotically adrift and drowning. How can I get out of it? Zhaozhou just sat there. The person said, I'm asking you sincerely. Zhaozhou said, where are you adrift and drowning? So, how might concentration, letting that one point fill the whole universe, opening yourself to it and letting it be you? How can that, or how's your meditation, whatever way it is, it's not wrong. It's your meditation, yeah? It's what's alive. How is that not wasting any energy? Not wasting any energy, you are awake. So coming back to that experience I had of sitting on the water in my little blue boat, being held by it, being rocked by it sometimes more than others, the light reflecting or allowing me to see down into the seaweed bottoms, it felt like not letting any of it leak away. And I don't know why those words came. But it was a feeling of so much gratitude that I didn't want to waste any. And it wasn't even a wanting, it was just a allowing. So can I live my life like that? Not wasting any of this beautiful evening under a big moon in a warm house with people that I care about. Just this. So that is what I have to say. And there's time for us to have some conversation. Hi, Don.